Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night service. We're going to move our Bible study of the 1 Corinthians 12, as I told you earlier, over to Sunday night and Wednesday night. Tonight, we're going to be looking basically verse 6. But we're going to read again, if you don't mind, verse 1 through a few of them. Not sure where I'll stop at. He says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Cursed means useless. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can't be saved unless the Holy Spirit saved you. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives us different gifts in life, different gifts in the church, different gifts in our understanding. We're not all the same. We are different. But by the same Spirit. Means Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's not only the one that brings us to Christ, he is also the one that teaches us. Verse 5, and there are different administrations, but same Lord. The Lord there is Jesus Christ. The administrations of the church is by Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, isn't he? And third, in verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God. That would be the Father. The Father is in charge of the operations of the church, which worketh all and in all. That's our God. That's our Father. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given unto every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, but by the same Spirit. In other words, God don't give us all the same understanding. Don't give us all the same knowledge, the same wisdom. Amen. I don't know why he doesn't do that. I can't answer that. If he did, we'd all be like mind-numb robots, wouldn't we? Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. He don't do that anymore. God heals. He don't have men that does it. But he did at these times. He did in the New Testament times. To another, the working of miracles. To another, the prophecy. To another, discerning of the spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he wills, as God wills, as the Father wills. But it's all done by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Amen. The Lord here now is starting to talk about the church. He don't wait till he gets to verse 12. And some people are going to disagree with me, and that's fine. That's what the world is, isn't it? We disagree with one another sometimes, don't we? But this passage of Scripture is no doubt talking about the church, all of it. But as Christians, verses 1 through 11, and then as the church, but all of it deals with church people. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it wonderful to know that you have the Holy Spirit in you, dwelling, teaching you? We as men have to understand that's what we are. We're just men. Paul, who penned so many books of the Bible, different man gives him different numbers, but at least 13, couldn't have penned one book of the Bible if the Holy Spirit had not inspired him to do so. Amen. And gave him the scriptures to write. John, who wrote Revelations, would never have been able to write the book of Revelations if God had not called him up into the heavens and showed it all to him. And told him what to write, didn't he? Remember when we studied, he said, write these things. We're not supposed to change any of it. We're supposed to go along with it. Understand it and love it. I've been studying on the church. I bought a new book on secessions of the church. And it's changing my whole way of thinking about the church. I've always loved the church. I wished in my younger years I started one time to take that up and try to master the church. It meant so much to me. But back then I didn't have much money to buy books, much way of doing things. So for some reason, I'm taking it up when I'm sick, almost 62 years old now. By the time I get through studying this, I'll probably be 75. Church is a big study, folks. Well, you think Revelation's big, wait till we get on to church. I mean, going step by step the way I want to do it. Looking at, you know, as you study the church, it makes you learn to appreciate it more. When you study the church, and it's the institution on earth that Jesus himself started. Jesus went through the villages and cities and called people out. He's the reason they dropped their nets and followed him. Amen. When you look at verse 12 down, you're going to see what Jesus did is exactly what Paul's writing about here. I look for commentaries on this, and you know what I find? I find nothing but junk. Well, God's describing the human body. Why would God describe the human body? He's describing the body of Christ. Don't we know that God gave us our arms, our legs, our feet? Don't we know, already know that they serve different purposes? But see, the church does. And once you study the church, once you start understanding the church, what you start understanding is how important it is. I would to God, I really do, I pray to God that more Christians would understand the importance of the church. I get tired of people treating the church like it's nothing. It's the most important institution on the face of this earth. Amen. And I'm talking about the real churches. I'm not talking about the counterfeit churches. Any church that's not Sovereign Grace is not a church. Any church that is not a landmark church is not a church. Any church that does not stand upon Baptist doctrine is not a church. Because Baptist doctrine is the Bible. You go through the confessions of faith, and that's what they are, confessions of faith. They teach you the basics of what Baptists believe. But the Baptist doctrine is this book right here. Learning it and teaching it in truth. And it's our job, our responsibility, to have a great respect for all of the Lord's churches. To give our money, our tithe and our offerings. To love one another. To care for one another. We are an eternal family. Amen. When you leave this earth, you leave your family relationships. We are brothers and sisters in Christ eternally. The church, for what the church really is, all of them will be the bride of Christ. It's important, folks. You cannot do enough for the Lord's church. So we've looked now at verse 4, where the Lord said that they are diversities of gifts, but same spirits. In verse 5, he said they are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, that's Jesus Christ. So we got diversities of gifts by the Spirit. We got different administrations by the Lord Jesus Christ. This ministrations means attendance as servants of God, especially teachers and pastors and missionaries and so forth. This is Jesus' church, isn't it? Why do you think Jesus is the one that's over the administrative part of it? It's his church. He controls this church. He's the head of the church. Then we find out that there's a diversity of operations, which we'll get to next. Operations is defined as the workings of it, which is God. So the diversities are the difference of administrations, but the same Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. The word administrations means attendance, but the attendance he's talking about here are the servants. See, I'm a firm believer that the servants the Lord's talking about here goes beyond the two ordained offices. The first ordained office in the church is the pastor. The second ordained office in the church are deacons. But you also have your treasurer, your clerk, your song leader, and your Sunday school teachers, whatever you have. Jesus Christ is the one that assembles us all together. I'm standing here because Jesus Christ made me the pastor. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. While these are workers in the churches, they are examples of God's diversity among the Christians. We don't all serve the same. There's a difference between a pastor and a missionary. The pastor has a total separate office from everybody else. He is the one that is called the overseer and under shepherd. He's the one that is over the church on earth. He is the under shepherd. That is a shepherd under the shepherd. And then you got all these other offices scattered out throughout the church. See, we see small churches today, but churches weren't always small. Some have estimated the church at Jerusalem, when Saul of Tarsus and them scattered it, to be anywhere from 25,000 to 50,000 people. I've been told that back then the church people lived together pretty much. And this is the reason for deacons to be appointed, is to help the apostles and relieved them of some of the work they had in taking care of the people. If only deacons today can understand what their job is, they fail a lot of them do. They think their job is to run the church. No, that's the pastor's job. Through the church itself. God never gave deacons an authorization. Christ never gave deacons the authorization. And the Holy Spirit never gave them the authorization to run anything. They are servants under the pastor to help the pastor with the church. Pastors have a lot to do. We have to study for 3 messages a week. And no, I don't preach 30-minute messages. We have to have prayer time, study time. We have to have time to read the Bible. And this is the reason Christ invented something called deacons. If Sister So-and-so needs some help, they are to help with them. Brother So-and-so needs some help, they are to help with them. Anyway, I don't get into all that. We'll get into that all later. But these are the different administrations. Evangelists, pastors, missionaries, teachers. All of these are administration, are tendencies of the church. Drop down, go back to our text, if you will, 1 Corinthians 12. This reference is not to any kind of a large, massive, universal visible church, is to a local church. Once we get to understanding the church and studying it, you're going to understand it's impossible. It's impossible for there to be such a thing as a universal visible church. I put on Facebook yesterday, under the church's side of Facebook, the problem with the Darwin evolution is they can't figure out where life come from. Isn't that something? I can go back into Genesis 1 and show you exactly where life come from. When God breathed life into the nostrils of Adam, he became a living soul. It's easy, isn't it? You know what the problem is with the Universal Visible Church? They don't know who started it and when it started. They want to say the Catholics did, and Catholics existed back in Acts 2. We all know, if you study history at all, Catholics didn't even exist till 311 A.D. How could they be in Acts 2? And at that, what in Acts 2 do you find that was ever started? There was no church started in Acts 2. And if it was started in Acts 2, what do we find voting in Acts 1, the 120? See, we'll get into all that. So this is a reference to the local church whom God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit has set the members in it as it pleased him. We will study deeper in verse 12, chapter 12 later, but let's look down to verse 27 and 28. He says, now you are the body of Christ. He's not talking about the body of man here. He's talking, you are the body of Christ. Not a universal invisible body scattered everywhere. Bodies are not scattered everywhere. You step on a bomb and your body gets scattered everywhere, you're dead. Right? He says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God had set some in the church, first apostles. Yeah, first apostles. some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. While these are all workers in the church, these are all administrative parts. That is the example of God's diversity among Christians, among the church membership. This is also allows us to understand that this passage goes beyond tongues and healings, but also our learning, teaching, and position in the Lord's churches. When you get down to the brass knuckles, and you start studying, especially this chapter, you know why so many people don't want to talk about this chapter? It has too many details. When you start studying this chapter of scriptures and chapter 12, you start learning how much God has a role in your life. So much of a role. You are part of this body, part of this church, because God set you in place. We had a song ready to leave. Well, we had one that had to retire. We had another one that left us, abandoned us. What did God do? He didn't depend on this old pastor can't sing to lead the singing. He made Justin the song leader. And you know what? He works out just fine, doesn't he? We have a man that's our treasurer. He used to work in a banking system. You can't get no better than that, can you? And we got a clerk, church clerk, that has a great education. And a nurse. See how it all works? Now I know Justin's probably really looking forward to this treasure deal. He's probably praying that the Lord will send somebody else to do that when Larry can't do it anymore. But the only time Larry's not going to be able to do it anymore is when he's at home with the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. We'll do what the Lord wants us to do. God take care of us, won't he? He always has, hasn't he? But you learn as you go through this study just how much God plays a role in your life. We ought not create ourselves with anything. There's nothing good in us except Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and what He has given to us. Amen. We can't even take credit for our biblical educations. So these, go to Romans 12 if you want to. That's where we're going next. So these offices or administrations in the church all work differently. They all have different spheres to speak, don't they? Whether it's a pastor's job is to take care of the church. Evangelist's job goes around preaching in different places. Or that's mostly what I have found evangelists to be. This is the reason I don't like being away from our church on Sunday. I don't like Bible conferences. I don't like going to revivals. I go because I'm invited to go. I love to go. I love to visit with the people there. I love the churches. But my responsibility is this church and only this church. Missionaries are not pastors. Some of them make pastors and some of them make lousy pastors. I assume Brother Keller's made a great pastor. He was pastor for a long time, and he's pastoring another church now, and they're happy with him, believe me. But it's like the church. All these different offices in the church, all these different offices God uses in the world to get the gospel to the world. We all serve our own God-given sphere according to the gifts of God through the Holy Spirit. Always remembering, this is the Lord Jesus Christ Church. And whatever Jesus wants is what Jesus is going to get. Whatever the Spirit does is what the Father elected to be done. What He predestinated to be done. If we exist tomorrow, it's God's will. If we don't, it's God's will. If we live tomorrow, it's God's will. If we live the next day, it's God's will. To everything under the heavens, there's a season or appointed time. Time to be born and time to die. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Rome in verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Sounds like 1 Corinthians here, doesn't it? We all have gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us. It was given to you in grace. Everything's grace. Your salvation's grace. Christ in His death, burial, resurrection was grace. Everything about us is grace. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, and he that teacheth on teaching, and him that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. All of that's about the church. All of that's about this administration. John 15, if you will. We must always remember, God is the potter and we are the clay. In life. When he talked about the potter and clay, he didn't mention just the clay. He was molding them to be a salvation object. He said, I'll make a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. That don't necessarily just mean that he's going to save one and not the other. It means he's going to take this one and make it a vessel of honor unto him. Starting with Jesus Christ, starting with our faith, starting with salvation. But he doesn't stop there. Everything we do that honors the Lord is part of that molding of that clay. So he molds every individual vessel of honor as he chooses for it to be. We absolutely have no say in what God wants us to be. None. I didn't have a say. God didn't knock me on the head and say, "Hey, Randy, you think you'd like to pastor a church someday?" That's not the way God operates. God controls everything. He controls our hearts. These ignorant preachers, they're very ignorant people. They call themselves pastors, but they're very ignorant people. And they get up in their stupid little pulpits among their large, large congregations, and they say stupid things like, "God can't change your will." I don't mean to be so rude, so horrible toward them. Looking for a different word. But it is stupid. God changes our will all the time. Everything we've done for the Lord has changed our will to do it. Do you think I really wanted to be a pastor of a church or even a minister? When me and my wife got married, I was a security guard in a nightclub. When I was done with my security guard chores, we sat there and drank beer at the bar after hours. I wasn't even going to church. I used to drink beer like I drank sin, like it's water. That's what I was. When you get taken away by the world controls you. And you become part of it again, even after the Lord has saved you. It's easy, folks. It's easy. That's our nature. Next thing I know, I got married. Everybody says, "Well, you turned him around." No, she didn't turn me around. God did. God turned me around. My father-in-law didn't turn me around. He didn't think I'd ever be a preacher. We don't know what God's going to do. We just don't know. But believe me one thing, God causes us to be what we are in life. That's part of the vessel of honor he's building. He doesn't just build it and stop. He continues until we're live with him. John 15. So really, we don't have any say what God wants us to be. Every aspect, every level of our Christianity, every level of our Christian life is by the hand of God. Him continually building through the Holy Spirit that vessel of honor that he ordained, elected, sent Jesus here to die for, saved our souls, and caused our lives to be. How much do you think we owe God for? For everything. Listen here in John 5, 15, 5. 15, verse 5. He says, Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abide in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Did you catch the end of that? You can do nothing. That is nothing good. Nothing honorable. Jesus Christ is the reason for everything, folks. He is the vine. We are the branches. He that abideth in me, 1 John 1:17 says, he that walketh in the light, as I am the light. We fellowship. Same thing here. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the reason we're able to do anything. Look at Philippians 2 real quickly. And I'm going to make this our last scripture because this takes us to our next point, which we'll get verse 6 next Sunday night. I love Philippians chapter 2 right here. This is a beautiful scripture. They all really are. Whenever one comes to our studies, it becomes a beautiful scripture, doesn't it? Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That don't mean your salvation to be saved. That means to work through the entire part of salvation. There's a lot on our end to do for the Lord, not for the salvation, but it's working through our salvation. Our salvation is not complete until we are glorified at the rapture. So our life right now is a working through that salvation, not to be saved, but because we're saved. Let me make sure I make that clear. Next, it says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. In other words, it's God changing your will and causing you to do what he wants you to do. Just so that's understandable to everybody, because a bunch of people can't understand that. Do all things, whatever God hath commanded, without murmurings and disputings. Do it. God says to do it. If you're a pastor, pastor the church. If you're a deacon, help your pastor. If you are a clerk, clerk the church. If you are a treasurer, treasure the church. If you are a song leader, lead the singing. If you clean the house of God, clean it with a smile on your face. If you mow the yard, mow it for the honor of God. Do all of these things for the honor of God, because your God hath made you what you are in the church. You may be a prayer warrior. If you are, pray for people. You may have extra money. If you do, give it to the Lord. Because, folks, there is nothing on this earth, nothing on this earth more important than the house of a living God and the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. It has to be honored. And when people don't do what God tells them to do, they want to debate. Well, God didn't tell me to come to church on Sunday night. God didn't tell me to come to church on Wednesday night. Well, have you got a God got to tell you everything? You can't figure out that when the house of God is open, you go and you worship the Lord? Do we really, are we so little in mind that we have to be told by God to go to the church of Jesus Christ? I don't know if I believe in tithing or not. Well, give 10% because you love Jesus Christ. No matter what you believe in Christ, you believe the church is His, give it to the Lord. Believe me, we'll take good care of it for you. We always have. We are an honorable institution. The only place on earth that belongs to God. For His people. One day the whole earth will be. But right now, it's the Lord's churches. That world is not for us. This is for us. This church. This book is for us. I'm sorry, I'm way over. We'll pick up with this on...